Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs 23, verses 6 through 11. If you're willing and able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man, or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for bringing us here to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your word. Lord, what a blessing it is that we have your written word. Lord, we ask you now that you would teach us as we look at these verses in Proverbs. Lord, I pray that you would save the lost here. Lord, that you would strengthen the weak. Lord, that you would encourage those who are discouraged this morning. Lord, we look to you. Lord, we just thank you for loving us, for caring for us. We ask now, Lord, that you would teach us and bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our text this morning in Proverbs gives us three instructions. Do not trust everyone who befriends you. Do not cast pearls before swine. And do not hurt the helpless. But as I've studied through this passage and considering these three instructions, I was reminded once again of the terrible sinfulness of man. You know, some of these instructions are given to us because of our own sin and our own tendency to sin. And so we're given these instructions that we might not sin. But then some of these other instructions are given to us to instruct us how to deal with the fact that we're living among sinners and others around us are sinning. And so we have these other instructions to help us deal with the sins of others. You see, there's just no escaping the fact that we are all sinners. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We all need a Savior. And if you're anything like me, as we go through the Proverbs and we see the different sins that are dealt with there, if you're anything like me, you quickly recognize these sins that are mentioned, and you recall the other people that you know that are guilty of such sins, and that's only normal. That's only natural that we see the example and we think of others who are guilty. And yet, let's not stop there. May God convict us and show us our own sin as we see these sins in the Proverbs, that we might recognize our own need of a Savior and repent of our sins. And so we see here in this passage wisdom and instructions for us in dealing not only with our own sins, but also in dealing with living among sinners and dealing with the sins of others. Sin has affected everything in life. And so, again, the three instructions. Number one, do not trust everyone who befriends you. Number two, do not cast pearls before swine. And number three, do not hurt the helpless. So number one, do not trust everyone who befriends you. Verses 6 through 8. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. Here we see once again that you cannot trust everyone who befriends you. Every meal is not offered in love. Every gift is not given from a sincere heart. And so we need to be wise. We need to be discerning. We should not accept every invitation. There are few things more disappointing in life than thinking that you have a friend in someone and finding out that you do not. So we see here in this example a similar situation to the first three verses of this chapter. We have this meal situation again. It's a hospitality. And so here you are. You're the guest. You've been invited to share in this meal, to partake. And here you are at another man's table. And he is very welcoming and inviting to you. He says to you, come, eat and drink. And so he's welcoming you. Now, in most cases, it would seem like the only proper and natural thing to do is you accept the invitation. You sit down and eat. You thank him for the meal. You enjoy the food. You enjoy the fellowship. And yet, that's not what we have. Instead, here we have a warning. Do not eat his bread. Do not desire his good food. Don't be tempted to accept anything from his hand. This applies far beyond food. Anything that is good, do not accept from his hand. And we're given the reason. The reason is because who he is. You see, we should not accept this offer because of who he really is. He's a selfish man. He's selfish. And his selfishness is described very well here in verse 7. You see, he's not who he appears to be on the outside. That's not who he really is. At first glance, he appears to be loving. He's very welcoming. He's offering to you, come, eat, and drink. It would appear that he wants to bless you. But who is he really? I tell you, he's not a selfless, generous host that just wants to bless you. That's not who he is. He's really a selfish man inside. He only cares about himself. It says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. You see, on the outside, he appears to love you. He appears to be very welcoming and caring. But that's not who he really is. You see, on the inside, he's in love with himself. He's the most important. He's the one seeking a blessing. His heart is not with you. His heart is with himself. So even when he appears to be wanting to help you, he's honestly trying to help himself. He's wanting this situation to work out to his advantage, not to yours. You see, a selfish man at times can do things to help others. But that's not his main priority. That's not his main goal. Their ultimate goal in doing this, in offering this, is really just to try to help themselves in the end. It's all about themselves. They're selfish. And so we have the warning. not to eat the bread of a selfish man. Don't desire his good food. Listen, we got to think with our head here, not with our stomach. Everybody loves a good meal. Everyone enjoys being blessed by others. But don't be deceived. The selfish man does not love you. Certainly, he may offer you good things, but his heart is not with you. Then in verse 8, we see the result. We're shown here the result if we do eat the bread of a selfish man. It says, you will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. This is speaking of the regret that you will have when you realize that all these good things that were offered you, they weren't offered in love. You see, you sat down at the table, you ate of his food. You enjoyed the food. You enjoyed the fellowship. You thought that this was a display of their love for you and their care for you. But when you realize that they really didn't do it for you, it was all for themselves. You realize that they really don't care about you. It just makes you sick. You wish that you hadn't eaten one bite of their food. But you ate the meal. You complimented him. You see, in every way, you were a good guest. You received it all in gratitude and love. And then to realize later that his heart was not with you. It's so disappointing. It's so sickening to you. You see, when you consider the nature of hospitality, it's no surprise that we need this warning. You see, because hospitality is really a way to show love to others, to care for them. Yes, it's just a simple way. It's just offering food and drink, meeting a simple need. But this is what hospitality is. It's not all about the host. It's about the guest. It's not. We're going to eat. The host is going to fix their favorite meal. No, they want to know what you want. What do you like? And so, this is what hospitality really is, and we know this. And that's why when someone offers us a meal, when someone offers us a blessing such as this, showing us hospitality, so often we see it for what it really should be. A selfless act, a demonstration of their love for us and their care for us. But we see here in this verse the sinfulness of man. You can't trust everyone who befriends you. You see, there are those who, although they appear on the outside so genuine and so welcoming and inviting to you, their heart is not with you. They're selfish. They tell you to eat and drink. Make yourself at home. Enjoy. But they don't love you. In a way, it's as if they're keeping track of every bite you take. They're keeping track of how much of their food you're eating. You see, this isn't really a gift. We thought it was a gift, and yet it's really nothing more than an investment on their part. And they want to get a return. That's the whole reason why they're giving it. And so they give to you, not caring about you, but caring about themselves. They're selfish. They hope to benefit from giving something to you. You know, I heard a story years ago of an old farmer And he had a neighbor who had some land that he wanted to farm. And he really didn't like this neighbor at all, but he really wanted a chance to get to farm his land someday. And so this neighbor would come over and he would bring his broken down equipment. And the farmer, he really didn't want to mess with it. He really didn't care about this neighbor. But he wanted a chance to get to farm his ground someday. And so he would take the time, he'd fix this for his neighbor. Well, as the story goes on, the neighbor dies and his wife rents all the farm ground out to someone else. And the old farmer, it bemoans the fact that he'd helped his neighbor. He did all this repair work, hoping that it was going to turn out beneficial for him in the end. And so when it wasn't, he hated it. He wished he hadn't helped him at all. You see, motives matter. This old farmer did a lot to help his neighbor, but his heart was never with him. He didn't love his neighbor. He was loving himself the whole time. We see here the sinful selfishness of man. How even good things can be done with sinful motives. The selfish man is miserable. He can't even enjoy giving a gift to someone just for the sake of blessing them. Everything has to be about himself. What a miserable person. He's always trying to work everything out to his own advantage. Even in his giving, he gives to try to work it for his own benefit. He wants to profit himself. And so here we are warned not to be deceived. People are sinful, selfish. They're not who they appear to be. We can't trust everyone who befriends us. Certainly, sometimes this will be more difficult than others to discern the motives that people have. But we need to not be naive. Don't think that everyone who offers you something good cares about you and really wants what's best for you. Men are sinful. May God protect us. May God help us not to be deceived. So do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. Number two is, do not cast pearls before swine. Verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Here we're given wise counsel concerning when to speak and when not to speak. The emphasis here in this verse is on restraining the words of your mouth. Now, most of the time, when we think about restraining the words of our mouth, we think of the sins of maybe gossip, or a hot-tempered man, and in a moment of passion, sinning with their words and saying things that should not be said. But this is a different situation here. This verse is not instructing us to not speak with bad language, not to use profanities, not to curse with our mouth. That isn't the point here in this verse at all. The point here is that there will be times when we have great and glorious things to say, but we need to not say them. we need to hold our tongue. We see the reason here in this particular case. The reason that we need to hold our tongue is because of who is listening. Certainly, this is a principle in speech that we're familiar with. What we say and when we say it and how we say it, all of these things are affected all the time by who is listening. We want to speak the right words at the right time, and that can change all depending on who is listening. It makes all the difference. And so we see that when it comes to a fool listening, here we're not to speak. Now, I want to be clear, this isn't saying don't say a word to a foolish person. We're not to be rude, to be unfriendly to those that are fools. But we are to be gracious. That's not what this is speaking about, though. This is really speaking about sharing profound truths with those who hate the truth. Speaking the wisdom from above with those who are earthly minded and despise wisdom. This is really speaking of not casting pearls before swine. Not revealing those things which are sacred and holy to those fools who would ridicule and make fun of what is precious and glorious. This fool will despise the wisdom of your words. In other words, he isn't going to receive any of your instructions. He's not going to benefit one bit from the wisdom you share with him. He will hate, he will dishonor, he will despise the wisdom and truth that you speak to him. And so here we're told not to speak. Now it's important that I clarify here what this verse is speaking of and what this verse is not speaking of. I don't want anyone to misunderstand. Let me be very clear. It is our duty and our privilege to share Christ and His glorious gospel with this lost and dying world, a world full of fools. You see, we were all fools once before Christ saved us and set us free. And so now, yes, we do evangelize the nations. We do share Christ, the wisdom of God, with foolish people. And this verse is not speaking against any of that. The lesson here is that there are times when you will discover that a person has such a hard heart that they are not even open to hearing anything about God. And in those hard cases, what we're really taught here is not to keep pestering them. Don't keep preaching at them. Don't keep hounding them. Don't cast pearls before swine. Certainly, this doesn't mean that we quit caring, that we quit praying for them, that we quit befriending them. But it's more that we peacefully relent. We step back. We hold our tongue. We just back off. You see, they will despise and trample underfoot the blessings that we offer. And so it is a fruitless pursuit. They will be aggravated all the more. Whatever relationship we're trying to build would be destroyed. And they would have no regard for the precious, glorious truths that we would share with them. So to be very clear, this verse is not teaching us not to share the gospel, not to share Christ with those who need him most. But it's teaching us that when you're faced with a fool who has such a hardness of heart against anything and everything of divine things, that he hates and despises the wisdom that you offer him, it's time to move on. It's time to try to help someone else. Don't keep casting pearls before swine. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Number 3, do not hurt the helpless. Verses 10 and 11. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. Here we're warned of harming others and putting ourselves in a position where God is against us. We must fear God. We must do what's right. We must protect and help those who are weak, not take advantage of them or rob them. Now, verse 10 condemns robbery, and it mentions two specific methods that some may use to rob others. The first is to move the ancient boundaries, and we looked at this just recently at the end of chapter 22, but this is just speaking of the boundary markers that mark out a man's property from where his property ends and another begins. And so to be moving these boundary markers is really stealing land from your neighbor, stealing it for yourself, that you might have an advantage. So it really just amounts to robbery. The second example we have here, to go into another man's field. This is just speaking, again, of robbery. It's referring to going into the field that does not belong to you and reaping some of its produce. You'd be stealing from someone else, taking what isn't yours. So this is robbery as well. And robbery is sin, of course, but what makes it all the worse is that you're stealing from the fatherless. From the fatherless. Those who are in need. The fatherless, orphans, children. These are the ones that we are most obligated to help and protect. And so to be guilty of stealing from them is no small crime. This is a horrific sin. And God does not take it lightly, as we see in verse 11. For their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. To any thief who would seek to steal, to take advantage of the fatherless, don't be so foolish as to think that none can save them from your hand. God cares for the fatherless. He fights for them. He defends them. Yes, a child may be no match for a thief, but how much more so is a thief no match for God? God will plead their case against you. God is strong. He will not only save the fatherless out of your hand, but he will punish you for your sins and cruelty. So here we have this great warning not to take advantage of the weak and lowly, as well as a reminder of God's powerful protection. May we never rob the fatherless, but love our neighbors and care for the weak and lowly. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. So in all of these instructions, we see our sinfulness. Man is so sinful. The bad news is so clear here. We are sinners. We are selfish. We pretend to love others when we have selfish motives, showing that we're not trustworthy. We despise the precious wisdom that we should cherish. Again, showing how foolish we are. And we steal from those who need our help the most, showing our cruelty. For the wages of sin is death. We are sinners, deserving death. But praise God, Jesus is not like sinful man. Is Jesus cruel? Not at all. Does Jesus take advantage of the lowly? Does he crush the afflicted? No. Is Jesus trustworthy? Does he give us promises that he does not uphold? Does he make it look like he is a loving God who promises all these wonderful blessings, but he's really just working it all out for his own advantage and will be hurt in the end? No. Jesus is not like us. We're the sinners. He is our perfect Savior. Yes, we are terrible sinners, but Jesus is a wonderful Savior. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we live our lives, we're not going to get away from this struggle with sin. Even as God works and sanctifies us and changes our hearts, often in sanctification, he shows us more and more our own sinful hearts. And we have the sin of those around us, the sin of our family members and co-workers. This affects our life as well. Listen, we are all desperate sinners. We have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. But praise God, he is not like us. He is trustworthy. He will do what he has promised. We have hope in Christ and nowhere else. Let's praise him in prayer. Oh, Lord God, we thank you so much that you are not a liar, that you are on the inside who you show to us on the outside. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you're not trying to trick us, that you're not deceitful. Lord, we thank you that you do not crush the weak and lowly, that you're not robbing us. Lord, we see our sin. Lord, we acknowledge Even as you've shown us our sin, we don't see it for as bad as it really is. Lord, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for being true. We thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. We pray, Lord, that you would work in us that we would not sin. That when we sin, we would be quick to repent. Lord, we pray that you'd give us wisdom in dealing with our fellow man. Lord, we know this is a world that's been marked by sin. Lord, we recognize that's our fault. Lord, we pray that you would give us wisdom as we seek to live lives that bring honor and glory to you. Lord, we realize we will continue to struggle and battle with sin on many different fronts. Lord, we ask for your help. Lord, we need your wisdom. Lord, we pray that we would cherish your wisdom, that we would not despise it, that we would honor you in all things, that you would be glorified, that we would be faithful servants of Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.